Just a couple of words about the harpsichord. A little harpsichord like this would, in the time of the Baroque, when an instrument like this was popular, more so than it is today, would have been for a room probably about half this size. So you have to sort of listen up. The harpsichord was in the days before microphones, and it actually was one of the very special keyboard instruments, one of the most important ones that they had back in the 1600 to about, well, close to 1800. The reason the instrument is so soft, as opposed to, say, the piano, is because the strings, there is only one string for each note. If you go and look inside the piano, you'll of course notice that except for the low notes, there are three strings. So there's, first of all, a much bigger possibility for sound, but also on the piano, of course, the strings are not picked or plucked, but rather they are struck with a hammer, with a hammer. And so there's automatically going to be a lot more sound. These, underneath this little bar here, are a series of little fine plectra. And you simply, as you push down the key, it picks at that. So it's a very small kind of sound that you would get from a harpsichord. And yet this kind of sound and its predecessor, a little instrument called the virginal, which was even softer than the harpsichord, were the ones that preceded our modern-day piano. Tonight I'm going to play some music on the harpsichord, go back to the organ, come to the harpsichord, and end up on the organ. I'm going to begin tonight with some music of George Frideric Handel, a theme and variations, a little gavotte. I always like to play Handel so that people realize that, honest and true, there's about 1,000 pieces more than just Messiah that he wrote. Thank you. One of the other differences between the harpsichord and the piano is in the touch. Since most of you, if not all of you, of course, have played the piano somewhat, you notice, I mean, you can vary the touch with the way, whether you press lightly or whether you press heavily on the piano. It doesn't work that way on the harpsichord. The harpsichord only responds to feather-light touches. If you press hard, you'll simply end up breaking strings. So when people play the harpsichord, it's one of the reasons I'm always very careful with small children, because they tend to just want to bang at it. And it's not that kind of, it's just feather touch. You just barely touch the key and that little thing goes bunk. So you just, no matter whether you're playing fast or slow, it doesn't matter. It's all, and of course, therefore, you don't make a difference in dynamic except by different kinds of stops. I pushed one stop in this that's called the lute stop, L-U-T-E, which makes it possible to, instead of having the sound ring out, it just makes it very short and sound, just to give it a little bit different color. One more piece now of George Frideric Handel, a set of variations on a tune that he heard. It was from his time, a very popular tune called The Harmonious Blacksmith. I'm going to play just a very short little piece by Handel on the organ. King George II, who was king at the time when Handel was living in England, was very fascinated by music, And one of the things he had in the palace was a clock. And it was one of those clocks in which you had that sort of barrel in which if you put the little edges in, you could make it respond to particular pitches. So he asked Handel to set for him 24 pieces, one for every hour of the day. And I'm going to play just three of them. We don't have them in the order of which hour of the day, but they sort of sound a little bit to me like early evening, middle of the night, and then it's time to get up. I would now like to do a set of pieces that are written about particular people. One set on the organ and then one set on the harpsichord. Throughout history, composers have from time to time decided to write music based on a particular person. Some of it either dedicated to them, but in other kinds of cases, music actually to sort of describe the person. This is from a suite of music that was written about 20 years ago by the French composer Jean Francais, and he wrote a suite called the Carmelite Suite. It's about six nuns that he knew, and you get a pretty good idea of what they're like from the pieces. I'm going to do just the three of them. The first one is Sister Blanche, who seems to be fairly straightforward from what we can tell. And then we go to Sister Constance, who obviously is busier than she needs to be. And then obviously the ruler of the roost, Mother Marie of St. Augustine. Thank you. In 1927, the English composer Herbert Howells wrote a set of 12 pieces for the harpsichord, also written in homage to 12 friends. What was different with these is that he put each one of them in the style of a particular dance of the Renaissance period. And what I would like to play for you tonight are four of these 12. The first is a ballet. The second one is a saraband. The third, an air. And then the final one, a very lively jig.
Thank you.
one of the similarities between playing harpsichord and organ, and which is different than the piano, in addition to the touch, is also the fact that on the piano, you never have to worry about connecting anything, because your damper pedal, the pedal on the right, takes care of that for you. So if you don't want to connect everything carefully, you don't have to worry about it, because the pedal will do that for you. Whereas on the harpsichord, since there are no pedals, it's always, especially in the slow pieces, you have to do what we sort of call exchange fingering, where you're on one note and then the next finger takes it over so you can get to the next note. It's the same thing you have to do on the organ. Otherwise, it would end up sounding, everything would sound so choppy all the time. I'm going to play for you to close two different hymns on the organ. One, an old Latin, actually a Latin plain song from the medieval times, a hymn for the time of Advent, Ave Mara Stella, Hail Queen or Star of the Ocean. And this very beautiful chant I will play for you first, just the tune, and then after that, three variations on it. The first, a very mystical one, the second in the style of Bach, and the third as a toccata. These are by Marcel Dupré.
Thank you.
playing the organ, as I remember from years ago when I first started taking lessons, is just like playing the piano. You just have to add your feet. And my mother gave me wonderful advice, because I remember I was in about sixth grade and said, oh, I really wanted to learn to play the organ. And she said, why don't you wait till you know that you feel very comfortable with your hands, because then you don't have to worry about them when you add your feet. And which is exactly, of course, what ended up happening. And so I waited a year or so before I did. And what you end up doing with the feet is the same thing, the same way that when you learn to play the piano, you have to learn to do scales with your fingers. You do the same thing with your feet, and you play scales, and you do all of the same exact kinds of things until finally you feel independent enough, and then don't have to look down very often. I'm going to close with a very grand setting by a German composer, Siegfried Kargelert, who lived into this century to about 1935. Kargelert wrote an enormous number of German chorales for the organ, over 60 of them in all. And they were always, the tune is always there. It's a very romantic style, but he doesn't sort of let it come out with every note. This is his setting. He calls it Triumphal March. It's his setting of Now Thank We All Our God.
That's that. Okay.